Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Ovik Roy is back, too, ladies and gentlemen. Ovik is a good friend of ours, a longtime Brain Trust member, senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute, author of The Apothecary, and he's got a health policy blog at Forbes.com, and he's a member of our Brain Trust. He's our good friend, Ovik Roy. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, happy Flag Day.
Yeah, happy Flag. How about that? See, you don't, you're not old enough to remember when they added Alaska and Hawaii.
No, that's before my time. But,
yeah.
I'm a real flag history buff. And
really?
A lot of people don't know that the first official flag of the United States was not the 13 stars in a circle, but it was actually 13 stars in a pattern kind of like the flag we have today, where
really?
It's sort of arranged staggered. Yeah.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that. Was that
and
who made that? Did Betsy Ross make that?
Well, no, so Betsy Ross made the one with the circles, but the first flag that was officially authorized by Congress was 13 stars in a staggered pattern, similar to what we have today.
So Betsy Ross had a better PR machine than the other seamstress, is that what you're saying?
I think so, yeah.
Or the circle was more appealing to the eye or something, I guess?
I think so, yeah.
But it's interesting, it makes you wonder, as I was saying, you wonder if one of the reasons why we haven't had any more states is because where would we put the star?
That's a good question.
I mean, I remember there was a discussion about how in the world are we going to get two more, because everything was laid out so well, 8x6, right? And
right.
then all of a sudden we have two more. It kind of throws everything, kind of makes everything staggered. Anyway, welcome back, and let's talk about what you're calling the slacker mandate. Tell the audience what the slacker mandate is and why we should care.
So the slacker mandate is a provision in Obamacare that forces all insurance plans to offer, all insurance plans that are meant to cover families, they must offer coverage to any adult children, quote-unquote, under the age of 26,
mm-hmm.
that are part of that family. Now, that sounds really great, right? It's great that, for people who are sort of young and maybe can't get insurance.
Especially with this unemployment situation these days.
Absolutely. So, there's that side of it, which is appealing. The problem is that there's no such thing as a free lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So every time the federal government forces insurers to do something, it costs money, and you don't see that. So
every
mandate
comes with a price tag. So whenever you hear mandate, look for who's going to pay for it.
That's exactly right. It'd be like if every restaurant forced you to eat, if the federal government forced every restaurant to serve organic vegetables.
Right.
We all love organic vegetables, but they cost more money.
Mm-hmm.
And your restaurant bill is going to go up. It's the same kind of thing. So it sounds great until you figure out who's paying the bill. And studies suggest that this particular mandate increased the cost of insurance for everybody by about 1-3%, which translates to about a tax of $150 to $450 per family.
If you think about it, every risk decision, every risk element in the insurance, that's what the insurance complex does. The whole dynamic of insurance is you spread the risk over all the people, all the
right.
participants. And so that going up 1%, that's an automatic function of the industry. The question is should it have gone up at all? Is this something the government should have gotten involved in, right?
Yeah, so I mean, the thing is, the insurers are happy to do this because it makes them money.
Yeah.
They make money off these plans.
It's good PR,
too. It's profitable to insure healthy people because they don't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So you collect additional premiums, nobody gets sick, and they get money out of it. So it's a great benefit for people who have children from the age of 19 to 26. It's a tax increase on everybody who doesn't have children of that age. And it's great for the insurer. So the development this past week was that the three of the biggest for-profit insurers, UnitedHealth, Aetna, and Humana, mm-hmm. announced that in the event the Supreme Court overturns the whole law, they're going to continue to cover adult children under the age of 26.
They're going to make it a product, not a mandate.
Exactly, which I think is good in the sense that, you know, if companies want to do this voluntarily, fine. If insurers want to do this voluntarily, fine. But, you know, because there was a lot of fretting among Republicans in Congress, if the law is overturned, this particular provision, the slacker mandate, is really politically mm-hmm. popular, it polls well, so does that mean we have to install a federal insurance mandate requiring insurers to do that? And really, the federal government should not be in the business of dictating to insurers
exactly.
at the state level what sort of benefits they should cover or not. Let states decide that.
Now, whenever the mandate is struck down, and these three companies say that they're going to continue with that program, now, as I said, it becomes a product, not a mandate. And so, therefore, one of these companies will start trying to be more competitive by saying, okay, we're not going to spread this risk over the people who don't have families, young people. And so they'll change their pricing, and they'll be more competitive. My point is, that's what should happen. If you have children, and you're going to cover them, you should pay more. As you say, I shouldn't pay for your children to be covered.
Yeah, and you know, I think it is going to vary a lot by states, because there are some states, like where I live, New York State, where the state mandate, there's a state mandate called community rating, which Obamacare also has, in which insurers force young people to pay more for health insurance so that middle-aged people can pay less.
Mm-hmm.
So in those states, because young people have to pay so much more for insurance to cover the, say, the 60-year-old who's not yet right. eligible for Medicare, in those states, this slacker mandate or under 26 kind of coverage is really helpful because it's an end around mm-hmm. around this other regulation which makes insurance unfairly expensive for young people. But in the vast majority of states where those kinds of rules don't apply, you know, pre-Obamacare, that is,
mm-hmm.
You know, young people should, in theory, be able to get insurance for themselves.
Right.
Families could pay
well,
for that.
Well,
and
in a better economy, they'll have jobs, and this won't even be an issue, as it wasn't for a long, long, long time. So
right.
We're going to take a quick break. Manhattan-Institute.org, right?
That's right.
And you got another website you want to send us to?
Blogs.forbes.com/A-Roy.
A-Roy. All right, stand by. Quick break. We're going to talk about Obamacare after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.